Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Full service banking, no compromises. Dibs and Whitey today on Steiny, Guru, and Dibs. Steiny is off in what, sunny San Diego, and Guru off to even sunnier Hawaii. You don't get to Hawaii much, do you, Dibs?
I just went actually in March.
All right.
Lovely. Yeah. I mean, what's the deal with all that ocean?
It's just, yeah.
Man,
it's an island.
A lot of sand. Yeah, it's
crazy. Absolutely. We're looking at reports out of The Athletic that say that Clay and Dre and Steph have gone to the Warriors and said, look. This is what we want you to do. We want you to go out and get a star, trade the younger assets for a star, and the guy that at the top of our list is Bradley Beal. Well, we've heard this before, but we haven't heard that that's the guy that the big three want. It's just a matter of, is he available? And it's also curious timing, suggesting perhaps on some level that the Warriors are hoping that, hey, make sure Bradley Beal hears about this and knows that we would love to add him, because we got Draymond hanging out with him and we got Steve Kerr hanging out with him too. But the smartest listeners in radio at 888-957-9570 say, no, deal. Too much to give up for Bradley Beal, especially when you consider how great Wiggins was in the second half, and how with Wiseman, who knows what he could become. A lot of Warrior fans, Dibs, still say he's Kevin Garnett, he's David Robinson. They could be right, I could be wrong, but I do not see that at all.
No, I think that he's more likely to go the way of Stromile Swift than he is to go David Robinson. Whoa. And, you know, Kevin Garnett. You would love to think, ideally, he would be that player, but Steiny, and I hate to give him credit, although it's great to give him credit when he's not around.
Sure.
But the comp that he made for Wiseman that I think is the best ever is Jermaine O'Neal, who Jermaine O'Neal, straight out of high school, it took him a long time to develop into the player that he became. And he became a legitimate, not an NBA star, but a good, very good NBA player. And he eventually played out his career with the Warriors, and he still was good. So I think James Wiseman would be more on a Jermaine O'Neal trajectory, where I think J.O. played like 18 years, and his best years were years 5 through 12 or 13, where, you know, he figured it out. He got a good offensive game to go with his elite athleticism. So I think to put the KG label, or, I mean, David Robinson, the guy played at least 3 years at Navy and then served time. By the time he came into the NBA, he was a grown man, for crying out loud. And, you know, Wiseman, to me, more of a Jermaine O'Neal, a kid who came in straight out of high school, basically, and had to learn on the fly.
From the 408, I'd rather take Simmons over Beal, at least. Then you'd have a 1-5 defender and a true point guard. What, everything okay over there, Dibs? What happened?
No,
I mentioned Ben Simmons.
I mean, no on Ben Simmons, no. It just, the offensive inability in a league where offense is now everything, I'm not so worried about Bradley Beal's defense, because defense is overrated. You don't really need to defend in the regular season. Now, you get in the playoffs, and we saw the Milwaukee Phoenix series really bogged down into an old school sort of half-court affair. But more and more, offense is being emphasized much more. So I'd rather have a Bradley Beal than a Ben Simmons.
I still think it's part of the Warriors' foundation, though. It's one of their calling cards. They defended well last year. I still think it's a big part of what they do. And as far as Ben Simmons goes, he's the Kenley Jansen of the NBA. He's broken right now, right? You don't want any part of poor Ben Simmons, who's, you know, Giannis is not a great three-point shooter, but he will take those shots. And Ben Simmons is like, I don't want any part of shooting the ball. And you can't have a point guard who is, for whatever reason, really, really averse to shooting the basketball. That doesn't work at this level.
And you already have a point guard who doesn't want to shoot. And his name's Draymond Green. And yes, he basically is your point guard of this team. And he is shooting averse. And you've already seen it in some of the Olympic tune-ups where he's turning down layups, which, you know, it's like a vegetarian turning down a steak kebab at a barbecue, babe. And that's where, you know, you can't have two of those guys on the same team. And you already have Kevon Looney, who doesn't necessarily always look to score. So that's another reason why Ben Simmons cannot be on this team.
Speaking of the Olympic team, Dibs, I have a have a confession to make. I think it's very American to root for the underdog, right? In whatever athletic endeavor. I know you remember the famous, what was it? The monkey against the bear in the Chinese circus. Wasn't that what it was? Yeah, remember that?
It was a huge upset for the monkey.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, so
You gotta Google it.
Yeah, well, we're not. but I tend to pull for the underdogs, which is an American thing. So to be honest, sometimes when I watch Olympic basketball, especially if the other country has players that I know and maybe like, I don't always root for Team USA in Olympic basketball. Does that make me a horrible, horrible American? Is that something I should never actually say on the
radio? Yes, and you should maybe pack your things and either head north, you can head south. You can't head east because there's too much America. There's too much real America. Right. Hashtag America.
Yeah,
you're going to want to either go north, south, or west with that bad attitude because we don't want you here, Whitey. You saw what Sweden did to our great U.S. women's national soccer team, beating us 3-0. Shout out to Stina Skinevich, who had scored twice.
She's overrated. She's a choke artist.
Yeah, Stina rattled one off the post and then popped it home. But you can't root for anyone other than the good old U.S. of A, Whitey.
Well, I think I do sometimes because it's a bigger story. It's more interesting. And I'm a fan of the game, the great game of basketball. It's been interesting over the last, 30 years to see other countries get to the point where they can compete with Team USA. And I don't appreciate the way Team USA is put together. I mean, I don't blame any player for saying, yeah, I'll play for my country. But it's an all-star team every year. We need a national team. I saw, you know, the exhibition game, Australia, which is like Dellavedova and Patty Mills. And who's the guy from the Jazz, Joe Ingles, you know, and they beat Team USA because they knew what they were doing and they were far less talented. So I think that's what we need to do with Team USA. We need a national team. I don't like the way they put the teams together, and I like the way other teams play together better.
That's Jerry Colangelo to blame for the construction of our team, but I'll say this. Australia beating us in an exhibition is like you winning the show call at 8:30 every morning. Big fish dinner. Who cares about winning an exhibition? USA France. USA is given 11.5. Good countries win. Great countries cover USA. So don't let Frank Ntilikina and the Stifle Tower Rudy Gobert try to.
Nicola Batum. They got
exactly.
A good team.
So many various Batums. Un Batum, deux Batum, trois
really?
Batum. Now there's just one, but try to get my French in there. But exactly. So are you rooting for France over the U.S., Whitey?
Well, I don't intend to, but to be honest, I don't know when I start watching the game, especially if Team USA is up by, 15 or something early. To be honest, I probably will be rooting for a closer game from the 5-1-0. How is pulling for the underdog American? I mean, we were the original underdog, right? In our fight against oppression, our fight for freedom from the British Empire. Hello?
Yeah, but we are a home dog. And as you know, as we head into the NFL season, if you give me the home team and getting points, and this is what I was telling Guru about the Super Bowl. So you're telling me you're giving me the greatest of all time at home and points? I'm taking Tampa Bay, Goo. And that's how my online gambling account actually started, hashtag fade the goo. Because I took the home team and the points. And it's like, you give me George Washington and the fellas at home against an overreaching England. I'm taking the U.S. and the points, baby. And unfortunately, I wasn't around to bet that lock, but I also would have parlayed it to the North in the Civil War, Spadone.
Yeah, maybe we should change Whitey's name to Kevin Michael Whitey Benedict Arnold.
Yes, wow. I like that.
Wow.
How about this one, Whitey? Yeah. I'm sorry, before we get to the good people, the 408. USA Women v. Nigeria on Tuesday. They're given 31. Which way do you lean? Are you taking Nigeria in the 31?
I think I would. Yeah. Taking Nigeria in the 30. How about you?
Pack your things.
Ain't nothing guaranteed, bro.
Thank you.
Wait, I can't even bet on the other country now?
You can. I mean,
you're saying it's not a wise wager?
Well, I'd have to look at the Nigerian women's team roster. I know the Nigerian men.
So would I, but you asked me. I don't know, so I just gave you an answer. I have no idea.
Well, the fact that your instincts would be to go against mother country, it's a trap. It was a trap, Whitey, and you fell right into it.
Huh. From the 510, I would prefer USA basketball going back to amateur collegiate players. From the someone else in the 510, what if the loser of the play-in game has to represent the U.S. in the Olympics?
That's really good. That would be really good.
Yeah.
Your punishment. It would put a little bit more stake in the game, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. All right. So bad American. All right. Great. Thanks. Yeah. Yeah. Isn't there something to be said for, wow, the spirit, international spirit of competition? And yeah, I don't know about these.
Between you and Matt Steinmetz on who hates their country more.
I know, right?
You watched the opening ceremonies today, right, Dan?
I watched the tail end of it, and it pretty cool. It was odd to have no fans in the arena, but the Japanese spectacular, so to speak, the way they went about showcasing their culture and their heritage. There was actually a part where they paid homage to the old Godzilla movies. You know, where they would show like the control room where there'd be 30 people working at the old computers.
Yeah.
And it's pretty neat. They showed one guy, and he was kind of playing around with the lights and this and that. And it, of course, culminated by the torch relay. And the torch bearer, the lighter of the torch, Osaka Naomi. Or as we would refer to her, Naomi Osaka. Pretty beautiful scene to watch her go up the stairs and light the cauldron.
That is awesome. All right, more on that coming up. Also, how last night's miracle win in L.A. could impact both teams at the deadline. And Dibs, I don't know if you heard Bruce Bochy today with Hunter Pence on with Covey and Shasky.
Right, he's a horse.
It was incredible. And if you missed it, don't worry. We got you covered. We got that coming up bottom of the hour as well. It's Whitey and Dibs today on this glorious Friday. Steiny Guru and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
He stinks. Now, back to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs, featuring
Creepmeister Maximus White Gleason
on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, Shorty. Whitey and Dibs here on Steiny, Guru, Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Dibs, I don't know how much of it you caught earlier today, but on the morning rose today with Ryan Covey and Joe Shasky, they had Hunter Pence on, and then they had Bruce Bochy on, and it was just a delight, especially for Giants fans, especially today after that huge win last night. And we're going to replay that for you bottom of the hour here coming up on 95.7 The Game.
I'm really looking forward to it because I love Hunter Pence. Great as a player and wild personality, fun personality, and to see what he's done now as a media member, I'm proud of him, you know, having done this myself for a couple of years, you know, to see a Hunter Pence come along, a rook in our business, and really appoint himself to the microphone so well. I'm proud of you, HP.
Mm-hmm. I know that Joe Shasky today was asking people, hey, you jump on the Giants bandwagon, given that it's San Francisco and given the nature of this team, what actually is the bandwagon right now? And he went with cable car. I was thinking at one point, you know, with Hunter Pence, and this is kind of an underdog team, little team that could. I was thinking maybe of an orange scooter. I remember 1978, the Giants, they were the little orange skateboard. I was thinking maybe something more along the lines of a scooter, Dibs.
That's not bad. And to me, it's a little bit more like getting on the 38 line on Muni.
Geary?
Yeah, exactly. The gear.
Yeah,
look at you, Whitey.
Sure. Yeah.
A baseball season's like riding the 38, not the 38 Limited, certainly not the 38 Express, but you take the old 38 from downtown, and I used to live out on 42nd and, was that Clement? So,
wow.
You know, it would take you about 39 stops because you get on Geary, and I got to tell you, that Geary, a lot of stoplights on Geary. And
yes.
So that, you know, that's kind of to me what this bandwagon quote unquote is, because yeah, you're on the 38, but right now you're just getting past Divisadero. You're heading through that little tunnel. You're not even to the avenues yet. And it's
wow.
Like, man, this thing goes on and on and on. So this giant season is kind of like the 38 Geary line. You got a seat, and you're not in one of those seats you have to vacate when somebody else comes on. You're in an actual seat you can keep. But it's going to be a while until you get all the way out there to Land's End or the Cliff House.
Yeah, I used to live on 23rd and Anza, so I'd walk out at, I don't know, 4 o'clock in the morning to Geary and catch that 38. And I remember waiting out there, you know, and it's just pitch black, and you could actually you hear the seals from where I was waiting for the bus. You could hear the seals in the distance. Like, what is a at Seal yeah. Rock or wherever they were, and then taking the Geary, you know, all the way down into downtown and Bush Street, wherever the radio station was. And I remember one time there was a brawl of some kind, and the bus driver sees it, and he stops, and he gets out, and he runs over to break up the fight. And we're thinking, wow, this could go a number of ways here. And bless him. You know, I think he broke up the fight, and I don't know exactly what happened. Somebody was getting beaten up or something. But a lot of crazy things happen on Muni at like 4:15 in the morning.
No doubt, and the beauty of that ride on the Geary line is that you go through a disparate number of neighborhoods and communities, and you know, it'd take you a good 40 minutes to get from the ocean to the bay or from the bay to the ocean. But that to me is what this season kind of feels like, one of those long city bus rides. No disrespect to the Butcher Boy, and I look forward to hearing Hunter Pence and Bruce Bochy and their exchange from our show exclusively on 95.7 The Game.
Yes, we have that coming up in just a moment here on 95.7 The Game. What do you think last night may do for the Giants and the Dodgers in terms of the trade deadline? I mean, do you think the Giants should be in the market for a closer? And does that get more complicated now if the Dodgers look around and say, Kenley, we love you, this guy's broken, we're going to have to go out and get Craig Kimbrel or somebody? I don't think the Giants should get a closer, but I would be surprised if the Dodgers aren't at least taking a long look at that right now.
Well, they have to. And honestly, the Dodgers have the benefit of looking within, because you've got Blake Treinen, and I think Joe Kelly could take on a more prominent role. And you saw Phil Bickford, who's got some nasty stuff. He got up last night. So if you're the Dodgers, you might be desperate to make a move, but I don't know if you're desperate to look outward to fix what ails you. I thought the Giants would look to bring in a closer, and I know Rich Rodriguez in Pittsburgh's a name that's been thrown out, and Craig Kimbrel is the shiny ninth inning object out there. I love when you dangle your wing like that. Mister, take this broken wing and learn to throw again, learn to pitch so free. But I think the Giants are still more closer hungry than the Dodgers. But where would you rank Giants' needs ahead of the deadline in 8 days? Additional bat, starting pitcher, or closer?
Starting pitching is number one on my list, because not only do you want to fortify your rotation the rest of the way, who knows what's going to happen, but also if you can get somebody under club control, Dibs, as you well know, then guess what? I've actually got some pitchers in my rotation for next year. Because right now all I've got is, hey, Logan Webb. That's great. That's all I've got. You know, I've had so much success this year with the starting pitchers I went out and got. I don't know if they're going to be around. So I would be willing to put together a big package. Can you imagine if you got Jose Berríos from the Twins and the Rogers twin from the Twins, Taylor Rogers? And I would be willing to give up a lot to get that. And then I think, so yeah, one, starting pitching. Two, I think you need another outfielder, an outfield bat. You got some issues right there mixing and matching right now, and then relief help as well. But if I need to put together a big package in order to get Berríos and Rogers, who's going to be coming out of the bullpen, I would do that.
Ahead of going out and getting an additional bat or getting an actual closer.
Yeah, I'm not that concerned about an actual closer. I know a lot of people are. There's just not good value in going out and getting a closer. And the bullpen has been pretty rock solid this year, right? It's been a surprise. I mean, you go back to, you know, opening night when they lost to Seattle. We thought, oh my goodness, this is the worst bullpen I've ever seen. Which maybe people overreacted, right, to one game. But I think there's ways around that. The bullpen's been effective. I just think to give up a lot for a closer, that's one of the things I think Moneyball taught us, is that closers tend to be overvalued. I'm just, yeah, if you end up with somebody you can plug in there, great. But I don't really see that as a need compared to outfield bat and starting pitching right now.
I see that, and I think overvalued in the long haul, but in a short span, in a short sample size, I do think you need another pitcher on that back end who you can really rely on, because Tyler Rogers he's a good pitcher, but he's not a swing and miss guy. And his mistakes tend to be heads up in the 10th row type of mistakes. And Jake McGee, who's also been very effective, he's largely a one pitch guy. He showed you the breaking ball a little bit last night, but he is an old school, you know, like Mitch Williams almost. Here it is. See it, hit it. I'm throwing 96. Not a lot of movement. And like last night, his fastball was pretty good. It was lively. He located it well, and he was able to get the job done. But neither of those guys, to me, is the kind of closer that you would look at and really bank on. And that's why maybe Craig Kimbrell is just the sexy name. And, you know, you look at his numbers, and when he comes on, he strikes fear in the opponent. Not to say he's perfect. Nobody is. But a pitcher like that, to me, is more bankable in September and in October. And we can actually now talk about October a little bit for this team.
Whoa. Yeah.
So, you know, what you made a good point, though, about another starter, especially for next year, because Gausman will be a free agent, and he's going to be – he'll make more than he made this year, which is, I think, $18 million. You can bring Johnny Cueto back. You have a team option, but I don't know if you want to pay him $22. No, DeSclafani is going to be looking at a raise.
He pitched well last night. That got lost in the shuffle, excuse me. Yeah. But he pitched pretty well last night.
He pitched great, and that was a classic pitcher's duel, which is why I bet the under 8, and Kenley Jansen kind of ruined my night, but at least I got the push.
Oh,
totally goo. And lock of the day coming up at 118. I'll have another gem for you.
But I
think you make a good point. You make a good point about your preferential order as far as what you would want.
Do you think Rogers is one of those guys about whom you're just like hoping he can go another day without them figuring him out? I mean, he's been tremendous, but, you know, he's a finesse pitcher, unorthodox. Do you think maybe if you're the Giants, you look at that and going, just hang on. Do you expect maybe at some point they're going to catch up to him and figure him out?
I do think so. But then again, I was watching a little bit of the A's last night, and Sergio Romo, he's a pitcher who is similarly a little bit tricky, quote-unquote, with what he does, and he still hasn't been figured out. He's still getting big leaguers out, and I know he's not closing for the A's, but he's been very effective. And, you know, you go back to Kent Tekulveev and Bruce Sutter, other submariners. Yeah, Dan Quisenberry, good pull, Whitey. I love the young people. If he wasn't on his phone, he would have blasted away, but it's nap time for Spadoni. He's eaten, and now he's got a little food coma.
Night-night.
Yeah, exactly. But I think that, you know, Tyler Rogers can still be very effective, but when it comes to ninth inning, big game, October, I still don't have full faith in either guy at the back of the Giants' pen right now.
I understand that, and the thing about McGee, I'm not a big fan of left-handed closers. I just think there's too many situations in big games where you're facing a right-handed guy who just mashes lefties. That said, he's pitched very well. The thing about Kimbrel, to me, that precludes me from really being that interested is his the price tag's going to be really high. And I'm not, you know, I'm hoping I don't have to give up much to get whatever I want to get. But given my other needs, starting pitching and Starling Marte, whatever I have that I'm willing to part with, presumably Bart, right? Boop, boop. And maybe some of my other prospects. I want to make sure I get value using those pieces for starting pitching and an outfield. I just don't feel like I can afford somebody like Kimbrel right now, who is going to be in demand.
Yeah, it's going to be expensive, but can you afford not to get him? Because you're in a position now where this is found money, and you're in a spot where you're leading the West, and you could go into, if you had Kimbrel, even if it cost you prospects, you head into the playoffs with a real bullpen now, and you've got a lineup that leads baseball in home runs, and you've got a very good defense that is among the best in fewest errors committed, and you're in a spot where maybe you're one reliever away from doing something truly special this year. It's tempting, and I think it's hard to maybe resist the temptation with the deadline 8 days away.
Well, I cannot resist the temptation now to share with you something that Kove and Shasky had today. They were hosting the morning roast, and they had Hunter Pence in, and Hunter Pence was joined by Bruce Bochy, and this is what it sounded like this morning right here on 95.7 The Game.
We got a mystery guest on the line. I'm on it, brother. We want to bring him in here for a minute. Somebody wants to say hello, Hunter. Mystery guest, do we have you here?
I'm here.
Hunter. Some guy named Bochy. I think maybe you played for him.
Hey, what's happening, Boch? How you doing?
I'm doing well, Hunter. How about you? You were talking about somebody, and the way you were describing him, I thought you were talking about yourself. until you said he was on the mound, so I caught the tail end of it, and that was a lot like you, my friend, and I can't thank you enough for all those things you did for me.
Wow, Boch. Well, it's a two-way street. It was an incredible run we had. But I was talking about Tim Lincecum. Do you have any thoughts on Tim Lincecum when he took the mound in his prime?
Timmy's always going to be one of my favorites. He's like my kid. That's how I felt about Timmy and all those things you talked about and how you described Timmy. They were all true. And he's such a giving guy, a big heart. Just a quick story. When my son came over to Big League Camp for the first time, he said the guy that came up first and the guy that really approached all the young kids from minor league camp to welcome them, to make them feel better, to feel part of it, was Tim Lincecum. And, they were in awe of this guy. And he was young. He wasn't much older than them, but he was one that really spent the most time with them. So all the guys went back, had nothing but great things to say about Timmy, how he treated them and bought stuff, golf. If they ever went golfing, I mean, they never paid for anything. And that's the big heart that Timmy had. And we all know how competitive he was.
Boch, you're an absolute legend. We miss you here in San Francisco. Take us back to that 2012 speech from Hunter. He was just talking about it. He said, you went up there, you got the troops fired up, but then he got the blessing from some of the OGs, and he went up there and served up a reverend speech. Take us back to that moment.
Yeah, it was a moment that, I felt like I had to say something, and I was in the office thinking, what I could say to them to give them hope. And then I thought of, this Gideon story, and I won't go into it, but it's kind of a serious story a little bit. But I never saw this coming. But my plan was to try to give them hope. We were down two games, and the Reds had never lost three in a row all year at home that year. And so I was just doing what I could there. And then Hunter stepped into the breach and just gave this unbelievable sermon talk. And as much as what he said, it was how he said it. And he went into how he was not ready to go home, how much he loved, how much he cared for these guys. He looked at Terrio and said, I just want to see what you're going to wear tomorrow. And just went on and on. And it took us by surprise because Hunter had not done that before. He had talked to his teammates, but I mean, to step up like that, and as a manager, you really appreciate that because you're looking for any help you can get. And so we go out and we win that game. And I always kid the hitters, they weren't listening to Hunter because I think we got one hit. We were getting no hit for a while, but we ended up finding a way to win that game. But it did, I think, inspire the troops. And then he goes out and makes a diving catch for Vogelsong by the right field line. So, Hunter just had a great way of firing people up, whether it was by example, but also by what he did there. And that wasn't the only time he addressed the club. And he's so good at it. And I certainly appreciate it. The coaches did, but the players loved it too. Because sometimes, you hear from me a lot or whatever, but when it comes from another peer with the passion that he spoke with. It did fire up the troops.
Boach, Hunter is like ear to ear smiling right now. This is absolutely incredible. You talk all about the World Series, all those moments. One of my favorites, and it involves Lincecum and Hunter, is you guys down in San Diego, 2013. The one thing he hasn't accomplished is a no-hitter. Yeah. And it's like the seventh or eighth inning. I'm with a bunch of dudes. We're down the right field line. A ball's hit to Hunter Pence, and he's trying to preserve this no-hitter. And Timmy's got like 120 pitches at that point in the game, and he makes one of the unbelievable catches out in the outfield. And just the joy from all of you guys to see Timmy have that moment in San Diego for you. Take us back to that day.
Yeah, you know, when a pitcher has that going, a no-hitter, a perfect game, I'm going to back up and preface this a little bit. And, you know, when Matt came through his perfect game, you know, everybody's involved. Sure, the pitcher gets the accolades. He threw the game, but you don't know how hard all his teammates are pulling for him. I mean, guys are sitting in the same seat. They're not saying anything to the pitcher. And they're so focused because they don't want to be the one where a ball falls in front of or make an error. And then when Hunter made that catch, that was just another example of how much these guys cared for each other and wanted this to happen for Tim.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
And I'm going to add this. You know, the playoffs and postseason, you know, those are, you know, I mean, I can't say nervous, but, you know, you're anxious to get it going, whatever. That might have been my most nervous game beside my son coming in when I had to hand him the ball because Timmy ended up throwing 147 pitches, mm-hmm. something like that. And I was going, geez, I should get him. And, of course, he had the last hitter was like a 10-pitch at bat. And but, you know, we gave him a break after that, and he was fine. But just getting back to your point, you know, when someone like that, like Hunter, makes a play like that, it's just a group that it's amazing how they come together and pull so hard for the pitcher, and I really think it brings the team together.
Boy, Boach, I know Bay Area fans just happy to hear your voice right now. Hunter's beaming from ear to ear. Just thank you for everything you did for the city, obviously all the success, and just leading by example on that dugout as well. And it looks like this current Giants team, they got a pretty good skipper and got a pretty good thing going on right now as well.
They have a great thing going on, man. It's such a – there's a good vibe and a positive vibe, and I've always believed that when you have that, good things happen. And you saw what happened last night, you know. And, you know, it could be a questionable call, whatever, but it's just the positive vibe that team has. And, you know, they're just so well balanced. I mean, they're very good starting pitching, bullpen, and they all swing the bat like Hunter did in BP and during the game. I mean, they're looking to do damage, and to have this many home runs, that's amazing. And Hunter, I tell you, I love home runs. And those guys are really doing a great job of showing some power and hitting not just home runs with big home runs, but, you know, just getting great at bats, long at bats. They're good. They're really good. And I really expect them to win this division. I that's how good I think they are. I think Farhan's done a great job of just giving this team so much depth, giving Cap so many weapons. I mean, you lose Longo and Bell, and then you have guys like Flores and Ruff and Wade going out there, and I think they've hit probably 30 or 30-plus home runs. So that's a lot coming from the corners, and it's just amazing how good this team is and what a great job they're all doing, the staff, everybody.
Bruce, I'm thinking for the next commercial with you and Buster Posey and the Toyota in the car, you got to have Hunter in there, right? Get him, break him off some of that Toyota money.
Yeah, you know, I like to get Hunter out on the boat. I don't know.
There you go.
Well, hold on. I'm going to back up. Hunter, how many cups of coffee have you had today?
A whole pot.
Yeah. I'd like to see him on a little boat fishing for about 5 hours with all that coffee in him. He would be baiting our hook, taking the fish off, casting it for us. He'd be a great deckhand.
Oh,
whatever you need, Boach. Whatever you need, you just let me know.
Love it.
Okay, my friend. Good chatting with you, and keep up the good work there.
Thanks, Boach. Thank you, Covey and Shasky, on the Morning Roast today, talking to Hunter Pence and the great Bruce Bochy. If you want to hear the whole hour, Dibs, of course, you want to get to the Odyssey app, a whole hour of Hunter Pence today, featuring the great Bruce Bochy with some kind words for the current Giants.
Yeah, very kind, and it's great for Boach to be able to look at that. And, of course, he's going to be magnanimous. He loves the organization, 3 World Series championships, and until Kapler does that, Bochy still will remain the greatest manager in the history of the organization. And how about that to all the people? Oh, the Giants ran Bochy out. He's going to land on his feet. He'll be managing before morning. Well, yeah. He still hasn't really. I mean, you got Tony La Russa at 100 and whatever, still managing and managing to do quite well. And Boch could get a gig if he wanted, but it seems like he's pretty happy in his retirement.
Yeah, certainly does. I thought he might end up in San Diego, but Jace Tingler is doing a fine job. He's got that manager seat in San Diego more than Phil Dibbs, whoever Jace Tingler is.
Yeah, I mean, you can't spell Tingler without tingle, and I'm starting to tingle. And the Padres still have a chance to get it tingling. It's tingling, baby. Hopefully more later this season.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of the Odyssey app, and again, if you want to hear the entire hour with Hunter Pence today and Bruce Bochy, check out the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app and discover, Dibs and I were counting, hundreds of new exclusive music stations available now for sports and music fans, by sports and music fans. Check out Troy Hughes Stadium Anthems. Get amped for the big game with the best tracks from rock and more. The new Odyssey exclusive stations on the Odyssey app. Brought to you in part by Macy's and Geico. And coming up, speaking of Gabe Kapler, remember when he started here, he said he started out in a hole? Well, is Gabe Kapler out of that hole that he started in yet? And try stealing these signs. That's next. It's Dibs and Whitey today. Steiny, Guru, and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
I don't mind the length.
Now, back to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs, featuring
Creepmeister Maximus Whitey Gleason
on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, thanks for listening, Whitey Gleason and Dibs today, just like old times, Dibs. Yay! Woohoo! The Giants not only lead the National League West by 3 games now, they also lead baseball in what I'm calling zombie wins. Last night, remember ground ball to short? There's a Taylor to second, and Vossler's out, and that's the ballgame. Oh, wait, no, he was safe. It's the second time this year that the Giants actually lost a game initially. Same thing happened when they played the Angels, and I think it was Juan Ligara scored. He was called safe, which would have been the winning run. And then upon review, was determined that, no, he was out. Giants went on to win that game. So that's twice this year that the Giants have won a game that they actually did lose. So those are zombie wins, Dibs. They're very rare, and the Giants have 2 of them after last night.
And that's a genius way to put it. The zombie win, coming back from the dead. It's Dawn of the Living Dead, Night of the Living Dead, the old scary movies that you used to showcase when you were Creepmeister Maximus. So I shouldn't be surprised that you, a man who has great such horror movie knowledge, would come up with a term like the zombie win.
Do you know some people refer to the automatic runner in extra innings, which I guess Manfred says we're doing away with that, but some people call that the zombie runner, because the guy, like let's say it's you know, and you ground out in the inning, but you're back on base next inning. Well, you made an out. So some people say, well, that's not the ghost runner, because a ghost runner is invisible, but zombie runner, because he gets to take his base even though last time up he made an out.
Yeah, comes back from the dead and acts as the zombie runner, which is a rule I hate, and I'm glad that it's going away, and also the seven-inning doubleheader going away as well. And the Universal DH is not coming back. Is that right?
I'm not sure about that. I know that the commissioner has said that the shift, and he didn't say we're going to ban the shift. He said, we're going to restore the game. We're going to make the game more look more like it did when I was a kid. So it's not so much banning a shift. We're restoring the game. So that's coming at some point. Obviously, they got to negotiate things with the players' union, but it looks like they're going to limit infielders, perhaps as soon as next year. Two on the left side of second base, two on the right side. It's too bad, Dibs. A couple nights ago, there was a key at bat. Casale was up to the plate for the Giants, and the Dodgers had three infielders on the left side, and it was just weird, and I think he ended up popping out. I don't want to ban the shift, but I think that's coming.
Yeah, and you're probably right, and maybe it'll be modified in some way, much like the NBA when they banned zone defenses. Well, you can still play zone, but you can't be in the key defensively for more than 3 seconds, although it's not called that often. And, you know, we all threw up our hands at that, but ultimately it didn't really matter that much. I'm trying to think if there's an NFL equivalent for, you know, a defensive or an offensive rule that came in that made it so you couldn't do one thing or the other.
They're just harder to see. They had all the rules limiting contact after 5 yards and all of that, but they're just not as obvious when you're watching the game.
Yeah, and for me, the shift is part of the nuance of baseball. And, you know, we have the shift now, which defenses have used to help prevent offense. Well, now it's incumbent on the offense to make the adjustment and beat the shift through, you know, shortening up and going the other way with it. If you're going to give me half the field with no infielder, you should be able to take advantage of it at this level.
Yeah, like Brandon Belt did. I mentioned that Angel game. Brandon Belt bunting against a shift for a base hit, if you remember way back when he was playing. Here's another change that is coming to baseball, Dibs, and then we'll get into Gabe Kapler. We just heard Boach talking about the Giants and Gabe Kapler. Major League Baseball will begin testing new technology, Dibs, that allows catchers to electronically communicate signs to pitchers at one of the lower minor league levels within the next couple of weeks. It's a system designed to both quicken the pace of play and, of course, suppress illegal sign-stealing methods.
Yeah, because the cheaters won't learn how to intercept these signals. I mean, are they gonna? Is it going to be Morse code? I mean, you're telling me that's you know, that's not going to take longer? What is it going to be? Is it going to be a buzzer where two buzzes for the curve, three buzzes for the splitter? To me, it's not going to speed up play at all. And, you know, already
wait,
you
that's
have
two buzzes. Is that a curveball? I don't remember. What's that supposed to
be? Yeah. If there's a runner on second, is it one buzz for a curve? Or, you know, we gotta have a meeting on the mound. I don't think that is a fix that's necessary to speed up baseball or to help matters. I mean, you've got the catcher goes through the signs, and if there's a runner on second, then, okay, we're going to go with the B signs, and then the pitcher takes off his cap, and he looks at the sequence of the B signs, and then we go from there. To me, we don't need to go to electronics for the pitcher-catcher communique.
This system here, it passed safety tests, which is a good thing because you don't want it, you know, igniting or something in the middle of a game when the catcher's trying to send signals. It consists of a transmitter that's worn on a catcher's wristband and two receivers that fit within the sweatband of a pitcher's cap and the padding of a catcher's helmet. You're so right here. Why is there a need for this? Transmitter includes 9 buttons to signal desired pitch and location and comes pre-programmed with English and Spanish audio tracks.
Fastball, por favor. Yeah.
Teams can also record their own information pass from the transmitter to both receivers using an encrypted communication channel. And I guess let's see, the Cal League Low A West. Are you familiar with the Cal League? San Jose Giants.
Yeah.
Modesto Nuts, Stockton Ports. They apparently will be trying out the new electronic device for catchers to give signals to pitchers. Why?
It just doesn't seem like it's one of those things that needs to be fixed in Major League Baseball. Now, if you want to change the balk rule, and by the way, how is Kenley Jansen's movement not a balk every time?
Driving my wife crazy last. She said, "I hate that. I hate that. That little hip twitch he's got." Yeah.
Yeah. So he comes set, and then it's, and he does this like a quarter turn hip twitch. That's not a balk. And Johnny Cueto, he comes set, and then he turns to second, and then it's, how's that not a balk? So let's clean up the balk rule first. And my pet peeve, Whitey, one of them is when the left-handed pitcher comes set, raises his leg, and starts to go toward home, sees the runner take off, and then he steps over in the vicinity of first base, and that's not a balk. We need a balk line between home and first to where, left-handed pitchers can't just blatantly go home and then, you know, kind of casually stride toward the bag.
By the way, I heard you earlier this week. You were talking about John Lester and how much how open you were to the idea of the Giants getting John Lester.
Big, fat choke artist.
I don't want John Lester because the whole thing is like, well, he won't actually throw the ball. He's like the Ben Simmons of starting pitchers. He won't throw the ball to first base. And I'm sorry. I wish you the best of luck with that. But that's weird, and I want no part of it.
It's a little bit odd, you know, the easier throw being a 45-foot throw to first as opposed to 60 feet, 6 inches toward a hitter with movement, but I thought he'd gotten over that, but apparently not.
Yeah. One more note here on the electronic device for catchers to give signals. Here you go. Players found to be wearing a receiver while batting will be ejected. So if you're up there and you've got your receiver on there, Altuve, and you're like, no, I don't know who put this on me. I'm not trying to steal signals. You will be ejected, Dibs. And that's the bottom line. I think this is all baseball's just trying to make us think that they're going to get rid of illegal sign stealing methods. And as you say, no, the cheaters will always be ahead of your stupid methods and new technology.
And sign stealing in the old fashioned way is a part of baseball. And
Thank you.
You know, it's a time honored tradition where, you know, every single game, every sport we play, there's players looking for edges and nuance. Like it's a football team that acquires a player from his former team and he knows the play calls and he knows the audibles. And it's up to you to get ahead of and to be smarter and make those changes so that simple cheat moves like stealing signs. And we saw this earlier in the week with Yaz on second base and the pitcher turned around and he's barking at Yaz and Yaz is like, throw the ball. And the pitcher told him to shut the front door. All of that intrigue is what makes baseball so interesting.
On the text line here, 888-957-9570 from the 925, does Ohtani get a custom-made device? Yeah, well, apparently you can record your own signals, so you would be able to for him. 925, someone else.
Well, just real quick, Whitey.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The catcher maybe speaks Spanish, and Ohtani speaks Japanese. So now the signal's going to go from the catcher and get translated in between home plate and the pitcher's mound.
It will go to the United Nations. I'm just reading here. Yeah, that's part of it. They will send a signal to translators at the UN building, and then it will go back. And that, yeah, that's going to, I mean, that's
out comes
the
pitching coach, Boutros Ghali.
It's going to speed the game right along.
Exactly.
Yeah. Then the obligatory Altuve, did Altuve design the buzzer system? I'm not even reading that. I appreciate it. Thanks for listening. I'm just, I'm not going to read it. It's Steiny Guru Dibs today. Whitey and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. And Dibs, we were talking about Gabe Kapler because, you know, Boach was just on this morning. And make sure if you haven't heard that yet. Boach was on with Hunter Pence and Shasky and Covey. Great interview. Check out the Odyssey app and check out the whole hour on there. But Boach was talking about how great the Giants are this year, and they're so well-balanced. And you said earlier, as we started the show, talking about this incredible Giants win, Dan Dibley said, the Giants are playing for Gabe Kapler. And I never thought of them doing that before. And I'm not disagreeing with you, but I never thought of them, wow, they're doing this for Cap or Gabe Gaffler, as he used to be called. You really think that's what's going on?
It's a big part of it. And it's not so much they're playing for him. Like, oh, we don't want to let Gabe down. But he's created a clubhouse and his staff to where players know when and where they're going to be used. And they know that the skipper has faith in them to go out there and do their job. And the handling of Tyler Rogers is a perfect example, because he goes out there and he gives up the game. Will Smith walks him off, and right away, Kapler in the press conference with enthusiasm, it felt like genuine enthusiasm. I can't wait to put him back out there in a save situation. The next night it comes without hesitation. Boom, Rogers, you're in. He does the job. And it's those little moments that make you feel like the players want to play for him. And you look at the vibe in the dugout during the rally last night, and everyone's up at the rail and they're slapping on the rail and they're clapping and everybody's invested. And I know that's just natural competitive behavior, but when they win and the team's coming off and everyone's congratulating each other, there he is, Kapler, above the top step.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.